you wake in a strange room. Your clothes are foreign, and the walls are covered in objects from a different world. You don't know where or when you are, or if you're still dreaming. There are footsteps in the hall. Jumping up, you race out of the room and into the streets. You have just entered the Twilight Histories.
Welcome to the Twilight Histories, an audio fiction that casts you as the hero. You are about to pass into an alternate universe. It will be strange, fascinating, and perhaps terrifying. To survive, you can't just be a tourist. You must become the people you explore. This is your adventure. Today, you are going to hear a story by a guest podcaster who has generously offered us her talent and her voice. She goes by the handle ItMe. She told me she goes by the pronouns she, her, in a broader professional setting, though she has different pronouns for her more personal discussions. So to respect her wishes, I'll be using she, her here. ItMe's podcast is called Inco. It's a sci-fi podcast set in space, in a distant future when Earth is little more than a footnote. It's about the people who are left behind, and it explores the effects of grief, loss, and loneliness while keeping up a rapid-fire dialogue and a high-stakes adventure. I'll add a link to Inco in the show notes so you can listen to it too. A huge thank you to our Patreon community, which supported us in bringing on this fresh new voice. We could not have brought her on and hired her to create this show without our Patreon community. If you want to hear more shows like this one, where we go out and bring in new talented storytellers, you can help make that happen by joining us on Patreon. What you're going to hear today is a completely different take on the Twilight Histories. ItMe has offered us a new take, a fresh perspective, on a show that is predominantly male-driven and with a kind of heavy metal vibe. This is different. I hope you enjoy this and that you find it as exciting and new as I do. Sit back, relax, and listen to And the World Stops by ItMe from the podcast Inco.
You're panicking. You haven't heard a word. For the last 10 minutes, you've just been parroting what the woman in front of you has been saying at varying speeds. The woman, Scarlet, slides an envelope and a small package towards you. You take them with the same reverence you once used when adding beads to your prayer necklace. Your whole life has been leading to this moment. You've been wandering outside her office for years, staring at her window, praying she'd look out one day and point to you in the sea of faces. And finally, at long last, she had. Today. Her office is nicer than you imagine. You're used to ramshackle tables, makeshift furniture, things pressed together and held in place by twine and prayer, but this is an actual desk. Wood. You've never seen anything like it. You try not to stare. Instead, you look at Scarlet. That's the name she's going by this week. Next week, it will be something else, but she told you to call her Scarlet, and that's what you're going to do. You need her to like you. She's looking at you. Your heart leaps.
It's simple,
she says, and you try not to get lost in the folds of her voice.
All you have to do is go here.
She points to a letter she's pinned in front of you. Even her handwriting is beautiful. You swallow nervously. You can't read, so you nod and hope what's on the paper is not important.
Repeat the address for me.
She's looking away now, glancing at the suns hanging outside her window. You breathe easily for the first time in nearly an hour and repeat the address she told you 15 minutes ago. You will never forget it.
Good, yes, yes.
She taps her pen against the letter, leaving little blotches. You hope they don't mean anything.
You have to get there in 10 minutes on the dot. Do you wonder?
She stops as the world beneath you stutters. The steady click of the clockwork that keeps the planet moving stops. Everything shifts. The table, the paintings on the wall, the impossibly soft chairs slide up and off the ground. The building groans, and you're half convinced that this is it. This is going to be the moment the world stops forever and bucks everyone off. You are going to die. You clutch at the box and letter in your hands as if they will somehow save you from getting thrown off the planet. Then the ticking starts anew, and Everything crashes to the floor. A steady, bone-shattering tick, tick, tick fills the air. You look to Scarlet, expecting to see the panic you feel reflected in her eyes. She grins at you. She has two gold teeth, and they sparkle in the sunlight that tumbles through the window. She runs her fingers through her hair, laughing.
Those really have been happening more and more frequently, haven't they?
You laugh, too. You don't match her exuberance. You almost soiled yourself, and part of you thinks she knows that. She fixes her hair, pinning waves of red atop her head. You desperately want everything she has. The office, the comfort, the clothes. You look at the box she's given you. It's small, black, and nondescript. If you were to shake it, it wouldn't even rattle. This is the beginning. The first step on a long road that will one day put you in her chair. Her smile is gone. She looks at the delicate clocks ticking away on her wrist. You have 8 minutes. You grab the address, scramble to your feet, and thread yourself through a window. You stop halfway across the room, turn and bow, hoping she'll understand you hadn't meant any disrespect. You have a lot of ground to cover. You ignore the guard posted on the rooftop, pretend you don't see the gun she has pointed directly at your forehead. You are intensely aware that the only thing saving you is the bright red collar Scarlet has fastened around your neck. Today, you are hers. And if you want to be hers tomorrow, you need to make it to that address. You start running, sprinting across rooftops with slums sprawl beneath you. You hear the children call after you. They shout your name, ask you how you managed to get your hands on one of Scarlet's collars. You don't answer. You have neither the time nor the breath to spare. Your lungs are fire as you leap over gaps and dodge clotheslines. The small dirty rivers that run between patches of tenements sparkle in the sunlight. You know that if you could peer above the wall, you'd see where they came from. There, the great river runs, clear and fresh. Drinking from its banks will not make you sick. You feel the same yearning you felt in Scarlet's office. You'll be there one day, too. Dressed in finery, you'll pay the fare, make the passage. But first, you need to deliver the letter. You start navigating your way to the ground, sliding across rooftops, crossing balconies, and shimmying down drain pipes until your feet press against the brick road. It was too much too fast. You empty your stomach in a nearby river. Somebody squeals, whispers raised like prayers at your back. You reach for your necklace, remembering belatedly that you traded your god for Scarlet's collar. The vomit stagnates in slow-moving water as you grimace, wiping your mouth with the back of your hand. You've never been in this part of the city before. It's close to the wall. Everyone is dressed so beautifully. Your cheeks burn as you glance down at your rags. Nobody approaches you. In fact, they seem to be leaving you a laughably large bubble, as if your poverty is contagious. You pull out the address and try to match Scarlet Squiggles to the ones on the buildings. You stop before a small cafe. The tables and chairs are made from the same cheap, infinitely recycled plastic that makes nearly everything in the outer ring. You check the squiggles twice before taking a seat at one of the tables. The chair holds steady, and you marvel quietly at its perfect, uncracked surface. A waiter walks out of the building. He looks you up and down. His face says he knows you're not meant to be there, but he pulls a menu and places it on the table before you. Something to drink? You stare at the plastic uncomprehendingly. I don't have... He cuts you off, tapping his neck.
She pays. What do you want?
You point to a random squiggle. It's longer than the rest. He gives you a weird look and you're sure you've done something stupid. When he leaves, he directs someone towards your table. A man in the nicest clothes you've ever seen heads in your direction. As he approaches, all you can think about is how he smells of sweets and flowers. You almost don't believe he's real. Even Scarlet, beneath her perfume, still smelled of the soap they give out at distribution centers. He looks at you with wide-eyed concern. That expression would brand him an easy target if not for the insignia at his breast. You swallow as you study the intricate metal gear that marks him a high-ranking member of the inner ring. He sits across from you, looking distinctly uncomfortable. You hold the letter in the box towards him. The man fishes in a pocket, pulling out a cloth he uses as a barrier as he takes them from you. He drops the handkerchief on the table.
Throw it out!
He speaks rich, like Scarlet. All crisp endings and poise, you snatch the small and possibly soft cloth from the table and stuff it in your pocket. His eyes tick across the paper. He frowns and opens the box. Several seconds pass. He seems frozen in his seat. It's clear that whatever he'd wanted to find inside wasn't there. "Where's the rest of the message?" he prompts. You blink and realize it was what Scarlet had you parrot for her. The words hadn't made sense then. You'd been so overwhelmed by everything you'd just realized you wanted. You search and stumble across the memory of a dialogue aligning in your head. Your heart hammers in your chest. You didn't realize what she'd been doing. You hadn't known. I'm so... What is the message? All warmth and concern is gone from his face, replaced by fear. Everyone milling in the plaza is looking at you. No, they aren't milling. They're lining up, forming ranks. You have never seen knights before, but you know what they are, and you know that they don't come to the outer ring without reason. Your mouth is dry. You question the ticking beneath your feet as you recall the quiet satisfaction Scarlet had shown when staring out her window. The sun's had been too low for mid-morning. She said. Your voice comes out soft. You realize you've been sacrificed. You aren't supposed to return. You are meant to be captured or killed or whatever it is knights do to traitors. For a second, you entertain the idea of keeping your mouth shut. But that isn't an option. You speak again, finding confidence. You try to sound like Scarlet even as your dreams shatter. She said, "With that measly amount, you must be joking. You want the key? It's 10 times the original price. Please deliver the money to the address provided. You don't have much time, darling. Once the planet stops turning, the key won't be of use to anyone."
That was "And the World Stops" by It Me from the podcast Inco. I'll share a link to her podcast in the show notes. If you like audio dramas and science fiction, you should check it out. It Me has a background in audio engineering, so she's a real professional. And that brings me to another point. In order to bring on professionals such as It Me, we can't just hold out the hat and beg. We hired her to create this show. While I strongly believe in paying talented creators for their work, it's also something that the really good ones require. You can always ask for volunteers, just cutting their teeth. But to get that long-fought experience paired with the talent, that requires ponying up. And for where the Twilight history sits, that's what we need to be focusing on. We're able to hire great storytellers and producers thanks to our Patreon community. Without them, we simply couldn't do it. That's why I'm asking you today to please become a patron of the Twilight Histories. There's tons of extra stories in our Patreon area. You just scroll and scroll through all these great stories. Bonus tracks, unpublished stories, ancient stories from 10 years ago that were taken down, a whole podcast called The Dark Histories that we never launched. There's so much stuff. So come on over to patreon.com and look us up. We're the Twilight Histories. Join us and help us expand the show. I'm Jordan Harbour. Thank you for listening to the Twilight Histories. Until next time, take care.